Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. For nearly 30 years, Todd Garner has overseen blockbuster films like Con Air, Anger Management, Triple X, 13 Going on 30, and Black Hawk Down.
Why are they letting you make these movies?
Join Todd as he shares tips and stories from the front lines of producing in Hollywood, right here on The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner.
What's in the media every day about the business of making content is how rapidly it changes. From talkies to sound to different technologies such as black and white to color to DVDs to television to streaming. I mean, it's just a whirlwind of how fast our business continually changes. It's terrifying for a lot of people because you just start to feel like you understand what you're doing in terms of the business end of the business, and then everything completely gets thrown on its head. When I was a young executive, Marvel movies, the comic book movies, were nothing. They weren't great. People weren't going to see them. There never seemed like there was going to be any chance that they were going to take off. And they did. And the huge tent poles became a thing again. And people are making them at the highest level. Artists are being attracted to them because they're good now. And they're sucking up a huge part of the audience. And so there's been a fundamental shift away from the comedies and the dramas, the things in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And those things are shifting towards television. And people have to make that adaptation and have to pivot and have to shift towards making their content in a different way. And the only way to do that is to continually change and grow and to learn and to study your craft and to read books and to watch the changing winds and sands of the business, and to never give up learning. I don't. So what I try to do is I try to see everything. I try to go to all the movies I can. I try to watch as much television as I can. I try to keep up, because as the business changes, if you don't change with it, then you're going to be left behind. And my next guests, Marlon Wayans and Rick Alvarez, have really embraced that to the nth degree. They've been partners for well over 15 years. And Marlon in particular has adapted his career from writing to stand-up to being in sketch to doing Requiem for a Dream to now having a huge hit TV show on NBC called Marlon. He just never stops growing. He never stops learning. He reads. He studies. He's on stage, and he is continually getting feedback for what's going to make him the best artist he can possibly be. It's completely impressive. And if I would say that he's not probably the most energetic guest I have, I'd be lying. Please enjoy my conversation with Marlon and a little bit of Rick, but mostly Marlon. I'm here with two of my good friends. In Hollywood parlance, we're like great friends.
Actually, we're actually like kind of like partners, except we're not making as much as you.
No show, please.
And we're like partners that should rob you.
That's right. And we've made four movies together.
Wow.
I know. Damn. It seems like three, but there's a fourth one. You want to know what the fourth one is?
Is that The Sixth Man?
Yes.
See, I know. Yes. When you was an exec.
That's right. I was an exec at Disney.
I was always scared to party with you. Todd the Tank.
That's right.
I won't mess with you.
That's right.
Todd gets you really drunk. When he takes you on his talent, he gets you really f***ed up.
Yeah.
And then he disappears. Like,
yeah, poof, I ghost.
Like, where's Todd? He's
yeah,
like,
he'll ghost.
I don't know
he
where
will.
He goes. Like, where do you go? Do you have like an underground
home.
Tunnel
well, no, I'm
a to your room?
It's Irish goodbye. So what I do is,
it's
your
rude.
Talent.
It's
no,
rude
it's not rude.
Shit.
No, it's good. It's good. You have fun. As a producer, when we're on set or on location, what I like to do is make sure that talent gets to have fun and do whatever they want to do. I leave the credit card and get it going. And then I usually imbibe fast. And then at some point, I will go to the restroom and look in the mirror and go, yep, you're good. You're good. You're good.
What
you're
you
done.
Do is you get us all
yeah.
Cuba Gooding drunk. And then you have the fucking audacity to leave us. Well, it's like, you guys, hey, y'all stay here for the cops. Y'all get arrested. I'm going to be back in my room safe.
But your talent, you'll get out of it. I will go to jail.
Says who? Ask Roseanne, is she getting out?
Oh, boy.
I said they canceled her quick. They canceled her like she was a black show. I was like, boom. It's like it was Lakeisha.
But you know what's amazing about that? I will tell you this, and it just sort of dovetails into what you're doing right now, which is you're getting your Facebook Live up, is social media has changed the landscape of Hollywood completely, and you're really good at it.
It has, but it actually, I think it's more or less enhanced. I think some people, I think we get it twisted sometimes. I still believe in the art of like doing the work. There's Instagram and all that stuff is good for promotion. But if you want a long-term career, Instagram, social media is good. It's a great place to start. It's a great place to do a business. But if you really want to rock, I think you got to go back to the old school. Get your ass on stage. Writing a minute is not incredibly hard.
Right.
But it's good to practice learning that minute because it has a structure, beginning, middle, and end.
Right.
When you start writing sketches, great. That's why a lot of sketch artists become movie stars, because beginning, middle, end, characters that are engaging for 3 to 5 minutes. When you start doing sitcoms, why it really grooms a movie star is because what happens is you understand the long form, the set pieces, how to be funny, how to talk with your characters, because you're stretching it out. What's the dynamics of the characters? And most of all, what's the story? What am I feeling at the end of episode? And what it does for stars is make you go, I got to play the emotion of this scene. I have to carry this as a human being, not just as a cartoon doing a sketch. But when you do movies, you know, it's applying everything that you learn and then some. So I think when you get to 90 minutes, to be entertaining for 90 minutes, you have to have different goes to the basket. You can't just have one move to the basket. You got to lay in the emotion. You have to play your character. You have to play the situation. You have to be believable. You have to turn on the funny. And what's beautiful about the stage is the stage allows you to have an audience in your head, and you know what's funny and where it's going to be funny and what market it's going to hit and who may not get it, but how do you make them get it? And because you travel so much, you understand, you know, really how to put together the right one joke that makes everybody laugh. And so I think that social media is a great place, but I would tell up-and-coming artists, don't forget to go back to the gym of comedy, stand-up, because what happens is, and what's good about sketch, you're doing in front of a live audience. Why the Saturday Night Live guys and Living Color guys became huge movie stars? Because we did sketch in front of an audience. You can't hide behind you thinking something's funny. Single camera versus four cameras is different because you're in front of an audience. They're the factor. They're the X factor. They go, you might have thought that was funny. All your writers in the room may have thought that is funny. We go, but now you have a chance to go, all right, everybody, get together. How do we make this funny? And then you do it again. Ha! That's the joke that wins. So you can't hide, because the audience lets you know that's not funny, or you went too far. Even for me, I learn when I go too far. Right, Rick?
I always know when you go too far.
But I also know I'm going to cut that shit. But I also know if I didn't try it, I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. As long as I was going live, I wouldn't do that joke. If I was going live in front of all, I wouldn't do the joke. But knowing that I'm going to go to editing, I'm going to walk the line and see what I could get away with.
Sure. Well, in order to tell a good story, we got to start at the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning for both of y'all. So
y'all, I like the way you use
y'all,
that, Todd.
That's Southern. Marlon, that back from Charleston. Marlon,
but he said that like a brother, like y'all.
Marlon, there's 190 Wayanses. So you're one of 10. And I swear to God, I get asked the question all the time, is Keenan your dad, your uncle, is Damon your brother? There's 10 siblings, right? There's 10 siblings, of which you are one of the 10.
Yes.
And then there's hundreds of cousins and nieces
nephews.
Right. So
I got to tell you this.
Just walk me through.
All right, go.
First of all, walk me through the family tree of the Wayanses.
Okay.
Because Damon Jr. is your nephew, right?
Damon Jr. is my nephew. Right. That's Damon's Damon's sperm.
Okay.
Damon's jizz has a show on CBS.
And a very good movie called Let's Be Cops. He's amazing at it.
His jizz is amazingly tight. His other jizz, right? And not his Y jizz, but like his X jizz.
Right.
His ex-jizz, which is the boy, right? Which is which?
I don't know.
It's not like they come out with an X and a Y.
I'm so stunned at jizz coming at me right now that I've lost the ability for science. So just please walk me through the family tree of the Wayans family tree. And then also, what the heck was it like? What was it like to be in that family of 10 of just super ambitious, smart, successful, not at the time, but potentially successful people? What was that like?
I think we got very lucky in life by having three things. First and foremost, our parents. My mom and my dad are amazing people. For you to have 10 kids and give love to each and every one of those kids and make time to give lessons and to really nurture them and really try to pull the best out of them in whatever maniacal way you may try to do it, you know, the fact that you can love that many. That's like ADD with kids. Like she found, my mom found her superpower. Never, we all felt super love at some point, and we also knew when we crossed the line. My dad was a very spiritual man, and we're blessed because he was not only a spiritual man, but he's a very hardworking man. And I think his prayers kept us in line. In terms of our morale, we're good people. It's not, you know, we're a little crazy. We all got our own crazy. But at core, we're all great people. And I think we was blessed by having God look after us through my dad's prayers and my mom, dad's hard work. And listen, my dad's not funny. He's really annoying. When he's drunk, he's so annoying. And my mom curses him out so much that's where the buddy comedy was. We was raised in a buddy comedy. My dad gets drunk. My mom gets pissed off, and when my mom is mad, she is Richard Pryor with titties. She is the funniest woman because she'll break you down. And we just watched this buddy comedy. He would annoy her. She would curse him out, and that's where we found out comedy. And I think they must have had makeup sex and then made us, and that was the formula. And then we got
so
blessed.
It must have been really annoying because it's any of you.
Yes. He's very annoying. I'm not lying. And then I think the extra blessing was having my big brother's, you know, Kenan being the pioneer in terms of, Dwayne was a good big brother, and he taught Kenan to be a good big brother. But where Dwayne went down one road, Kenan took the other. And, you know, Kenan really, I got so much love and respect for that guy because he literally taught us how to fish. And then Damon, also, I don't think Damon gets enough credit. Damon taught me and Sean how to fish. He taught us stand-up. We used to go on the road with Damon when we was, I don't know, 8 years old. We'd go to Boston. Kenan sent me, "I'm gonna get you, sucker." And I read that on the bed at 9 years old, and it was the thing that made me say, I want to write movies. I can make people laugh with words. And so he took us under the wing. And, you know, I used to sit in meetings with him and, like, Rupert Murdoch and, you know,
Barry Diller.
I'm sitting there. I don't know who these guys are, and I'm just sitting there watching them talk about, you know, the show and the creativity of the show and Living Color. I sit there and listen to them negotiate with the censor. I grew up like a Jedi. So I think we're all blessed to have Jedis raise other Jedis. My nephew, Lil Damon, did the work doing stand-up. Mikey writes on my TV show, Damon's Other Son. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't know. He's like, you know, he talked like this here, you know, like hardcore this and that. But he's pudding. And he's so sweet. And he's so funny. And he's so smart. Kenan's daughter does, you know, takes photos. He works on my show, takes photos. So she helps me with my social media. She's Jolie. She's a sweetheart. Very great kid. So we help each other's kids. My son, my brother Sean's kid, Layla, she's a drummer with a band. And she goes to NYU. My daughter just got into USC, and I went to see her play, and I could not believe that this girl came out of my sack. Like something this talented was actually in that little weird hairless sack of mine. She did Hamlet, and I literally sat there and was like, yo, I wish I was an agent. I was like, college, you could be working right now. Like, you would book everything. But that's just me being cheap.
Well, I will say, look,
wait, that's me being cheap.
No,
because USC is very expensive. But
I've honestly known you for a long time. You're an incredible father too. So you not only took the best from the professional of your family, but you're an incredible dad.
I love them babies.
And you are really, and speaking of being spiritual and keeping them in line, you're really good at that. Hey guys, before we get back to Marlin, I want to talk to you guys about a very cool product for something that's also near and dear to my heart since I'm old and my hair is going away at a rapid rate. You know, maybe you've noticed that you have a little less hair and you'd like to find a real solution. The thing is, there are two clinically proven medications that will let you keep your hair, and now they're inexpensive and easy to get. You don't need to lose your hair if you don't want to, and that's why I have to tell you about Keeps. For 5 minutes now and just a dollar a day, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/producers. That's KEEPS.com/producers. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/producers. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow. And look, getting started with Keeps is so easy. Sign up takes less than 5 minutes. You just need to answer a few questions and snap some photos of your dome. A licensed doctor remotely reviews your information and recommends the right treatment for you, all without leaving your home. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you have probably tried them before, but you've never gotten them for this easy of a price. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. Plus, now you can get your first month free. That's a really good deal. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. Plus, now you can get your first month free. Look, there's no reason to put this off any longer. Stop hair loss today the easy way with Keeps. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/producers. That's KEEPS.com/producers. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/producers. And if you are a producer, you know you need this product because our job creates hair loss. Enjoy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey guys, it's Todd. I need your help to keep my podcast free to download with minimal ads. I need you to take a short survey, and it's totally anonymous. It takes no more than 5 minutes, and there are 2 easy ways to begin the survey. Go to www.podcastone.com/mysurvey, or go to www.podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. If you filled out a survey in the past, thank you so much, but we still need you to do it again. You do all of us at Producers Guide and Podcast One a huge favor by filling it out. So thank you for supporting my program and for taking the time to complete the survey.
This is the Producer's Guide with Todd Garner.
It's been a theme through this whole podcast is your family just said, I'm not going to wait for auditions and I'm going to write and figure this out and I'm going to bring all the people I love with me because I know they're the funniest people around. And you guys created this incredible empire from nothing. And that's that's an incredible testament.
I got to credit the forefathers, my mom, my dad, my brother Dwayne for teaching my brothers to be good brothers, and you know my brother Keenan for being a pioneer, and Damon for being a co-pilot, and Sean for raising me. Like I'm Kim for always being an outstanding human being and an incredible talent, probably the most underrated talent not within my family. I think in this industry, that girl is brilliant,
hilarious.
She did an episode of my show. She came on. She was just eating scenes up. I was just like, yo. I just, at a point, I had to just sit and watch her. She's just, we're all very hardworking. I think.
That's the big thing.
Our talent is hard work. Oh, no, I'm still sweating right now from the gym.
They outwork anybody. That's been Keenan's, I've known Keenan now for almost 20 years, worked together for a lot of those years.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to get to before I said, I will say about the hard work thing, I do go to bed every night going, Marlon Wayans is still working right now.
He says that.
I swear to God, I'm not joking.
He's somewhere working.
Every night, I do not go on social media after midnight because Marlon's like, I'm in Brazil! And I'm like, how the hell are you in Brazil? You were yesterday doing a show at Irvine. Now you're in Brazil. Yeah! And then it's like, then the next morning you wake up, you got 9 guys in a row going, and then D-Ray, all these guys.
Yeah.
I can't. I've almost unfollowed you twice when I was just like super depressed. And I go, man, I can't work any harder. And you're like, I'm still going, motherfuckers. So that's my Marlon Wayans impression. But how did you guys meet?
I met Marlon and Sean first. These guys were looking for a producing partner. And this was a long time. It was probably about 19 years ago. I was producing small independent movies.
And your brother's also a producer.
My brother's also a producer.
Did your brother lead the way or did you lead the way?
Well, we both...
That's Matt Alvarez.
Matt Alvarez. We did it at the same time. Literally, I was graduating law school. He was graduating from college. And we were like, what are we going to do for a living? I knew I wanted to make movies. My brother was still kind of trying to figure it out. And I said to him,
That sounds like my brother was still banging bitches.
There's a good chance. But, I told him, I said, we're living in Northern California, and I said, you're graduating, I'm graduating. pack up a U-Haul, put all your shit in it, bring it over to my house in San Francisco. I'm going to put all my stuff in it, and we're going to move to L.A.
I love that.
And we did. And we had a friend who had who let us live in her house for 6 months. And
wait. Her house?
Her house.
Because you guys are both incredibly handsome.
Yeah.
So
that's a party.
I was going to say.
She was gone.
Moving.
She was going to be gone, so we had to look after her dog and her house.
Perfect.
And we're like, sure, we'll do that for free. That sounds fantastic. I had taken out a student loan before I went down, so we knew we had 10 grand to live on.
Wow.
And we're like, all right, well, we're going to do this. And both of us started taking PA gigs. And, you know, I got a job working as an assistant at an agency. Did that for a while, just, you know, the hopes and dreams of producing movies and television at some point. I started producing small independent movies. That's code for really bad ones. And
terrible.
Yeah.
Where they make deals like, put the money, I want 20 grand in a paper bag, in a greasy paper bag.
I did
go to Fat Burgers, throw out the burger, give me the bag, bring it to my house.
I did not say that. I did not say any of that happened.
Adam Rifkin, who was on this podcast, had like four stories like that. I love him.
He has like 20.
I love that. Yeah. I think as, because look, I mean, I'm hoping that people that listen to this can learn something and do it.
Yeah.
I love it. I think that if you have to put $20,000 in a greasy paper bag to get your movies made, as long as it's legal.
Oh yeah,
I think that's cool, man. I think it's all part of the story.
Better than going, pay me in all coke.
Yeah. Well,
pay me in coke.
Sure, that happens.
That certainly happens. Sure. That certainly happens.
Bring a brick of yay to the crib. I'll be there. But you know, back to what you were saying earlier, I'm gonna let you jump in back on your history. But what we learned early on, what my brother always taught me, was if you don't write and you don't produce and you don't learn to direct, you learn to do these things, you'll learn to be a creator, don't expect to work.
Yep.
You like acting?
Yep.
Well, that's not enough. Yep. Especially if you're of color. You have to be a force. You have to be a force of nature. So it's not just about, oh, waiting on opportunities. No. You have to create opportunities. You don't wait for opening the wall. No. This is Hollywood. You kick that wall open.
Yes.
I'm still kicking open walls. We work like animals. It's a two-man, three-man operation. All we do is grind. I feel like we're better now than we were 7 years ago, 10 years ago. And I think part of it is because we're growing as writers, we're growing as producers. We've been in the industry 25 years before we started hitting our stride.
Mm-hmm.
My best years, and people think I'm crazy when I say this, my best years are ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. My Tom Hanks run, my Denzel Washington run, my Will Smith run, it's coming. I'm just doing the work because once I get there, I'm going to know how to stay there. And that's not just by what I can do. It's about how I can assess myself and be honest about material, how I can engage and work with other great producers, work with great directors, and know that work with every part of your team, from the sound to the wardrobe to the hair, everyone to a stunt, everyone is essential in you making that movie that you're trying to make or tell those jokes that you're trying to tell. All those people is important.
Yeah.
You can't do it by yourself.
No.
And so we just work. And now I look and I go, all right, we're hitting our stride.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I had finished reading. I'm sorry.
I was talking about.
The coffee jump. You talk about your history.
You're very inspirational.
How did you meet Marlon?
I met Marlon. Marlon and Sean were looking for a producing partner. They had a deal after Don't Be a Menace at Dimension with the famous Weinstein brothers.
Is that the one where they kicked us out the office? Like,
that's also where you made Senseless, which I also thought, I worked on that movie.
You know what?
I think it was Hoberman.
Because
Disney had bought Miramax and Dimension by then, but
yeah.
I was just feeling
that
nostalgic.
Movie was, by the way, it deserves more credit.
It was a funny movie.
People now go, I love that movie. But I think it was sometimes it's not about the movie. It's more than just the movie you make. It's the marketing and it's, you know,
the timing.
Date is everything. Timing is everything,
yep.
You know. And you learn this and you go, but for me, I have not made any mistakes.
No.
Because everything was a lesson. It's only a mistake if you don't get the lesson. And so every time I have a failure, I look at it as some kind of achievement of success to go, all right, I'm not going to make that mistake again.
Right. And if you can do that, then it's not a failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just something that you learn from. I try too. It's hard. I got to say though, and then we're going to talk about how you met Marlon. It's hard.
We'll get there.
That's going to be like the running joke. So how did you meet Marlon?
We're going to go through your whole career, all of our movies, everything. So
it'll be on the after
show.
Well,
you know what? We've run out of time.
It'll be on the after show.
But I will say, it's hard in comedy because I think, like, okay, I'm never going to do that again. And then there are a lot of versions of that, you know. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I say, oh, I got murdered by this date. You know, I'm never going to do that again. I don't really have control over
you
that.
You don't control
it. Which is the problem. Yeah. So you have to, again, we're having a movie that opens against Incredibles 2. That should be fun.
Oh, God.
So
I hope it's an R-rated drama.
It's an R-rated comedy. But it's you know, it is life. That's what there's nowhere to hide, as you said. Yeah. There's nowhere to hide from, you know, not growing. There's nowhere to hide anymore in terms of dates.
But
you just got to roll
ways
with it.
Even though you're in that situation, you have to approach the situation differently. So what can we do better than we did last time? How did we market? How did the marketing of this huge movie, you know, how was it like the perfect storm to kill my little boat?
Yep.
How do I protect it?
Yep.
Okay, so if they're marketing up here, give me digital. Let's just hit the digital market as much as we can. Let's go urban. What audience are they going for? Let's try and gather this audience. So when we cut this trailer, let's make sure we're going after that audience, because this audience, we're not going to be able to service them. And so this is the audience that we have to service. And so here's the materials and how we need to cut the material in order to service that audience and get them involved to get them there.
And you as an artist, you build on that goodwill too, because you work your ass off in publicity. I've never seen anybody work harder.
I grind, brother.
Which builds and builds and builds. You know, when we did our Naked together on Netflix, we got a great call from Scott Stuber saying, you know, we did really, really well. I mean, obviously they're not going to give us the exact numbers, but I think you were number one in like 150 countries.
193, brother.
193.
We got that one.
And so, and I think for like more than 1 week too.
Yeah.
And the tale of that, just that the work you did and all the places you went and you were there and people feel like they want to support you because you've built this goodwill over the years and people know how hard you work and how much
I'm
going to
tell you
it.
What's crazy. I get mad when they don't send me on promotional tours, like to 25 cities and as many countries as we possibly can. I get upset that I'm going, I'm saying to you, fly me, put me in all I need is a nice 800 square foot room. I need three to four meals.
Is that big? I don't know.
That's pretty big.
It's cute. It's
40
like a,
by
that
20.
And a okay, living room. Okay. That I need
a
bathroom, a living room, and like a powder bathroom in case wants to come take a weird in my room. And I don't really know him, and I don't want to sit in the toilet after him. So
who are you meeting in these cities?
You know, it's Europe, man. Okay. People, you know, they eat weird beef.
There's no hormones in it.
None. So that is a real crazy stench. So I'm like, travel me. Put me, I want to work from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night. Then put me on a plane. The only reason why I say they put me on regular American Airlines or whatever, jet. I'm not even a jet. The only reason why jets are effective is because I can get to the next city in a decent amount of time to get enough rest to be alert and be funny as hell in that next market that I'm going to. And I like doing the regional tours and the domestic tours because I'm preparing myself for the international tours. Mm-hmm. And then when I come back and I do LA and New York, I've gathered all the material for each one of these sets that I'm going to do. All right, so I'm going to be on Fallon. How long am I going to be on? I don't care if I'm first or second guest like that. You know, the ego says, first guest, I done this and that. Me, my job, I want to promote the shit out of this. Do me a favor. Make sure you buy a commercial. When I'm on that show, buy a commercial. Why? We hit them double time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if not, you know, if I'm second artist, great. I can talk about what the first guy did. My whole thing is just give me the opportunity to get our definite interest numbers up. Awareness is on you, studio.
Right.
Definite interest is on us to cut the right materials.
Right.
And first choice, that's a combination of everybody, the perfect storm with perfect day.
Well, the thing that's so good about you going to regional places, too, is they don't normally get stars like
that.
So it becomes special.
Yes.
And don't sell yourself short. Your international numbers are insane.
I get mad when they don't send me.
But I will say,
Todd, I say send me. I want them bigger.
You've had this for years,
Mark. The general understanding is, like, you know, this is what they say. People of color do not travel.
Right.
So if you're a person of color,
and
you don't
say,
have a foreign audience.
Wakanda, my nigga.
Exactly.
Well,
Wakanda.
It's not accurate.
No, it's definitely not accurate. And
that's the general belief.
And they do it because domestic is the word they use in quotes. It's a domestic play. And it's bullshit. And the reason why they do it is because they don't have the balls to test the theory. So yeah. Let me just do a run of your and my and all of us, the three of our careers. We made Little Man together. Sorry, we made White Chicks together. Then we made Little Man together.
Yes.
And the thing, because I was one of the owners of the one of the partners in the studio, was that I knew what your international numbers were for White Chicks and Little Man. They were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not like a secret. It's just if you would ask people 2 years later, oh, you know, the African-American comedies, they're a domestic play. I said to Netflix, I go, no, you understand, man. I'm telling you, those two movies played almost bigger internationally than they did domestically. And it turned out to be true,
mm-hmm,
because you were number one in Africa and, you know, Sweden and
yes,
Netherlands and all these other places that they didn't expect.
Yeah.
Brazil. And they have the exact analytics for that,
right.
Netflix. They
mm-hmm,
they were
they know.
Blown away. And
yeah,
I kept
right.
saying, I'm not blown away. It's bullshit to say, oh, you know what? It's a domestic play.
Well, we
and then Wakanda, obviously, you know, obviously,
yeah.
It blows the doors off.
We did
it.
This before we even did those movies. When me, Sean, Keenan, three black African-American guys bring you a movie in a franchise called Scary Movie. And Scary Movie does $160 million here. And it is $167 million overseas, written, produced, and starred. Black guys.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, we know how to tell a joke that is urban and make it so that everybody can enjoy it. I never set out to make a movie. I never set out to do a TV show. I set out to make a classic. I set out to make things. That's why I go the extra mile. That's why I sweat every scene. I'm sweating like a crazy man. Because for me, I'm looking at these are cells that people are going to be watching when I'm gone. The only thing I have left as a memory of me is those smiles that I get from the things that I fearlessly did to make people laugh. I'm in the business of smiles. I do whatever I got to do to make people smile and feel good. And it translates. And, you know, hopefully, like, my show comes out June 14th on, shameless plug, June 14th on NBC, second season Marlon. When you watch every episode, you will see somebody that's, you see every scene, every moment, I'm working. I want to be funnier. I think we could top this. We could do this better. When it comes to the dramatic, I know how to lay off. I know how to act. I went to performing arts high school. Drama,
You went to Fame.
Fame. I studied drama.
Right.
So that's the easy part.
Right.
They go, oh, one day you could be in an Oscar nominated movie. I'm like, okay, I was in one Requiem. I said, if the opportunity comes, sure, I'll do more drama. I'm just not going to go chasing statues. I will never forget, because comedy is what I love. And I love drama too. But, you know, it's rare drama's going to come my way. So I just keep working on my comedy.
Well, speaking of memories, how'd you meet Marlon?
I gotta talk real fast. I don't want to get this in.
By the way, you know what's so funny? I have like 9 questions. I have like 9 questions for Marlon. He's already answered them all, and I haven't asked anything. Look at the first one. It's like, what's your greatest failure? And I knew he was going to say, I have no failures. I've only learned anything. And so it's very funny.
No, don't get me wrong. I've had failures.
No, it's amazing. All right. But
financial.
But let's talk about, let's forget about how you met him, because we're never going
to
get that answered.
No, tell him.
But I really want
to. Very simple thing.
After you say that
met with Marlon and his brother, they're looking for a producing partner. Our friend Lisa Bloom was their manager at the time.
Who I miss. I love Lisa.
Yeah, she's
you know,
fantastic.
I just thought that, you know, we did so many movies together.
And he's going to do
it. Doing it. She's doing it.
Right. And then
I sat down with him. They called me and said, let's partner up. I said, yes, let's do it.
What was the first movie?
The first movie I developed with them was Scary Movie.
Okay, so let's talk about Scary Movie for a second. What made you, obviously Scream had come out, all these things were out there. What made you guys decide to go after that franchise? And was this after In Living Color?
This was after In
this
Living
was
Color.
After In Living
it was
Color.
After Don't Be a Menace.
This was during Wayans Brothers. Me and Sean was pulling
the
double
Wayans
duty.
Brothers series, right? Okay.
Wayans Brothers series. Yeah. Me and Sean, we decided that we were going to write movies while we was doing our TV show because we wanted to become movie stars.
And your brother, what gave him the idea to do In Living Color? Just that we need to do a sketch. We need to compete against Saturday Night Live. We need something that's diverse.
After Keenan did I'ma Get You Sucker, they asked Keenan, what do you want to do next? And Keenan was like, I want to do this project in Living Color. I want to do sketches because I think from sketches, what we do, characters is what we do. And go ahead.
Let me interrupt you for a second because it's kind of a funny.
Feel free to do that whenever you want. By the way, because
I need you to talk with Marlon as, if you interrupt. But Keenan, when he went to that meeting at Fox. And they asked him what he wanted to do. You know, there's two distinct divisions, right? There's film and there's television. Keenan's sitting down. He starts talking about this sketch TV show. And they're like, that all sounds great, but we're talking about movies.
Right.
But they loved the sketch idea and sent him over to the TV guys to say, hey, you should talk to him about this show.
And that
and
show
I think Joe was at Fox during then. Because
yes.
I mean, when Joe came to Revolution, was all about getting you guys in there, which is why we got Little Man and White Chicks.
Yes.
So he was,
which,
he
by the way,
at
was
the film.
Probably two of our best experiences.
Oh, thank you.
Because we came from Weinstein's.
Well,
so we was
the
like
bar thing would
have
been a good
bar experience. Is pretty low at that
we
point.
We was like some abused women that was just like, you're not going to hit me? What do you mean? You going to give us extra budget? We get lunch? But, you know, I always feel like I think Keenan wanted to do that show because, you know, Keenan loves to come from a place of truth. And when he sees it, he sees it. And with Living Color, he didn't see a sketch. He saw sketches.
Right.
He saw a dynasty. He saw, you know, he was able to work with guys who he knew was talented that nobody even know, like a Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
No, he nurtured a woman like J-Lo and took a girl that just wanted to be a dancer and a dream and said, no, you're better than that.
good impression.
He did that to Jada, like, this is what you're gonna do. Like, Keenan's like, he's like Yoda, man. Like, he brings the best out of you. That man brought the best out of me. I hear him often. In my walk every day, like, what would Keenan do?
Mm-hmm.
And what would Keenan think? And I think, you know, one thing he always told me is hard work is your greatest talent. That's something nobody can ever take from you. Work hard, and you'll see where it takes you.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I
All
work hard because
All
preparation, he gave me the formula. Success is preparation meets opportunity equals success. And in my case, it's preparation creates opportunity equals success.
Right on. Hey, guys, before we get back to Marlon, I wanted to talk to you about a great service called TrueCar. And let me tell you something. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing and actual inventory and simpler buying experience with TrueCar, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid. See, that's how it works. It gives you a range of what people have paid in your area for the exact car that you want. So you'll know you're getting a good deal before buying. And you're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features may not be available in all states, so check it out. So then you're doing your TV show, doing the weigh-ins. You were cast in that, or did you guys produce that as well? Did Keenan?
Me and Sean created that one. Keenan, we left in Living Color, which should be still on the air. Like, that's a dynasty that just needs to be done. I'm just throwing that out there, Keenan.
Can we throw another one out there? White Chicks.
Yeah, well, we've been trying to work on that, man. But everybody wants that one. I think that one. Especially with what's going on today,
we were ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
way ahead. Like
thought,
if we did that
we
now,
we thought that thing was gonna. I remember making it because Paris Hilton was just in the press and everything.
Yeah.
We're like, we gotta hurry because this is definitely gonna go away.
Go away. Nah, it's gotten even better. Like we already know what the second movie would be. You know, it's just about people. I think people have to. It's a movie that we have to make a better movie. Than a movie we made before. And it's going to take a little bit more budget. You know, it's not like, you know, we could just do it like, hey, do it for $5 million. It's not going to happen.
No.
Like, it's a lot of work. And when you do that movie, you want to have the comfort to make a great movie. And we know how to do it, but it's just going to cost a little bit of money.
Because I'm sure Keenan's listening to this. We can appeal to him right now. So scary movie. So you're on your show and you decide you want to be movie stars now, of course, because that's what the people say.
Yep.
And then you decide just to do it.
Well, me and Sean was just, after work, we'd be working on it. When we left in Living Color, me and Sean, I had $700 rent and I had $800 in the bank.
And you're on a TV show.
Yeah.
What else were you doing?
I was a featured cast member. Okay. So I wasn't making like money. And I spent my money when we did, when I did Batman, it was $100,000. I spent that like, you know, in a month. Restaurants and.
Because you were supposed to be Robin.
Cash. I was supposed to be Robin.
That's the best.
And then they switched directors and Joel Schumacher was like, Chris O'Donnell. And I was just like.
Did you get a chest? Like, did you make the chest impression for the nipples though?
No.
You never got that far?
Just the cod piece.
And I think what happened is they saw my cod piece was like, nah, we can't have Black Robin. He's upstage in Batman.
Black Robin.
He don't need a utility belt. His weapon's his dick. All right, so what? Me and Sean always was trying to work our way out of one jail to get into into the yard, basically. So while we was doing it in Living Color, nobody would write for us. So me and Sean started writing our own sketches. And we'd stay up late and we'd write our own sketches and we started getting sketches in. And then we left in Living Color and was like, what do we do now? And we was like, all right, let's do a TV show. Because me and Sean, we grew up watching Abbott and Costello and Honeymooners. And we always
Your parents.
And so we wanted to do like a show about us as brothers. So we created the Wayans Brothers. Went through like 9 different sets of producers. I love Les Moonves because he was the head of Warner Brothers Productions at the time. And that man always bet on us. He always, these guys are talented. These guys are writing bullshit. These guys are staying, you guys are going. He got rid of like 9 different sets of producers. When I see him and he's in a restaurant with me, I'm taking that bill every time. And you know what? Thank God he don't eat that expensive. Because I've gotten one of them bills. I was like, Les, you need to step your game up. Like, why are you drinking Casamigos? You better get that 1942.
No, Casamigos is better. How do you do that? Do you just go up to the waitress and say, I'm picking up the bill? Or do you do this? Just tell them, Marlon God.
No, I go to the waitress and I just take care of the bill.
Anonymously?
I don't even say. Anonymously.
Really?
And then I'll tell him.
But, and you know why? It's awesome for you and your own feeling, but 90 people could have. By the way, the waitress probably got, oh, really? You're going to take it to just it's paid for like 9 times.
9 times.
She's like, I just made $1,000. All these anonymous people.
He always figures it out.
Well,
and he goes, and I'll up and give him a hug and just tell him, I thank you, man. I love guys that bet on me, man. And as you grow in this career, you make comrades and friends. And, you know, I love you. You know, I love the fact that, you know, 25 years later, you still think I'm kind of funny and that you'll go and that you respect my work ethic and we'll still do movies together. I love you for betting on me.
Man, let me tell you, I love you guys. And because, you know, we did 4 movies together, 3 with you. Mm-hmm. But that's the way I've done my whole career. I have to work with people that I love. It's just the only way I can get through it. And I have to say, Naked was the best experience I've ever had on a movie producing it because I didn't have to do shit. Man, you guys are so good. It's the most amazing thing. And I've been doing this a long time. I'm smart enough to know when to say the out of the way.
You was perfect.
But, and I'll tell you, and I'll try.
But you were involved when we all needed you to be involved.
We needed whenever we needed you. You stepped up.
Yeah.
You stepped up in a big way. And that to me is the best kind of producer. Is the one that goes, you need what? We gotta get this movie done.
Right.
How much is the budget? Here, we're getting that covered. Let's go. We're gonna deficit finance this shit. Yo,
you brought us a script.
Well, yeah.
So
what we did.
That's kind of important.
We did have a weird moment where And I will tell you, Michael Rotenberg, who is a really good friend of mine, who's your manager, said, he goes, it's not going to happen. You have like his show's going to go.
Yeah.
You got a 2-month window to get this thing written, rewritten, meet with Netflix, and greenlit. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. I go, done. 2 months. That's great. Because Todd, it's not going to happen. And then your show got pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So it bought me a little bit more time. And we went and met with Netflix. You guys did the rewrite on spec. Thank you for that. And then they said, well, it's the end of the year. We don't have the money. I found the money.
You found the money.
It was like, okay. There was no. Because it was a finite amount of time. Otherwise, it was going to go
and
away.
And then
forever.
The hurricane hit.
And then the hurricane hit.
Oh, that's
hit.
The best.
But here's the thing. When you got the producing entities and the director and the producer, like we're an in-house package, right? Why I like working with Rick and Mike is because
Mike Titus,
right? There's a thing I read a book called Good to Great, and it says, you know, always put the right people on the bus. because no matter what direction that bus turns in, you know that we have potential to be successful because of the people that are on this bus. I believe in. I love being on the bus with these guys, no matter where it turns, because we're like, no matter what happens, we're going to get there.
Yep.
And you have that same mentality. No matter what happens, we're going to get there. No hiccups, no problems. We always solutions. And then when we get to editing, you know, it's harmonious. We don't have these big fights, and there's a trust, and you have to have a trust. And when we cast, we like working with the people that we like working with, because there's a synergy, you know? And so producing can be hard. I see why Clint Eastwood and those guys work with the same people over and over again. You're a well-oiled machine.
Yep. Well, that is a word, trust, that's come up in every one of my podcasts. Hmm. Everyone. Doesn't matter. It always comes up because it's so hard to get a movie made, and it's so hard to, you know, do it, that if you do not have trust, you're never going to work with that person again.
Absolutely.
And secondarily, it probably won't work.
Yes.
If you're trying to bullshit your way through the business, you're going to run out of string eventually.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to run out of people to work with if you're continually bullshitting your way through things. And so, Scary Movie, you guys just saw that opportunity of an audience, or what did you guys think?
Me and Sean always have a first look deal with Keenan. We had a first look deal just because, you know, he's a godfather. So we pitched him the idea. And we did Don't Be a Menace. We did 19 drafts before we even shot the movie. Keenan will work. And you know what? I'm thankful for those because, you know, the director did some things and made some choices in the movie. And we had to reshoot Don't Be a Menace in 10 days. We had a week to shoot a brand new movie. And because we wrote 19 different drafts, we was just prepared to go in there and write 100 new pages of jokes, and we did it, and that became what is Don't Be a Menace. And when we did Scary Movie, me and Sean wrote, this is good, now write a black version, it needs flavor. We did a black version, and then we do, we should make them high school, take them out of high school and put them in college. Okay, and we put them in college. Now we should make it a white version. We wrote a white version. We did 15 drafts, brand new drafts of a movie before we even found what the movie was.
Right.
And that process I'm thankful for, because it taught me that the art of writing is rewriting. And sometimes you have to break it in order to fix it. It's a Rubik's Cube, and you got to get all six sides. It's not about just going, hey, I got the yellow. You can't be settled with that. When you're making a movie, you have to break it down from scratch, and you have to rebuild it from back again. And I'm glad I learned that with parody, and I'm glad I learned that with sketch, because when you're doing movies with story, now it's a whole nother side.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Sean did that work, and we finally got to do Scary Movie, and we didn't know it was going to be as huge as it was going to be. We just knew we had some shit. Right.
One of the very first things when I started working with these guys, they gave me, you know, an early draft of Scary Movie, and to this day, I would still say it was probably the funniest script I had ever read. It was so insanely funny that my notes, it was hard to give notes on the script because I went through and I was adding it up, and I was like, there are 10 laugh out loud moments on every single page. It was like an average of 10 laugh out loud, you know, moments, which when you're reading, you know, just a regular comedy script, if you laugh one time on a page, you're going, wow, this movie has a lot of laughs. It was insane how funny that script was. And I mean, obviously when the movie got made, it was just as funny.
We're always like, we're never comfortable where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always building to be, you're always doing double or triple duty, working overtime, because it's like I'm trying to get to a different place.
Right.
Like, I started in sketch, I moved to parody. After parody, I've done a successful sitcom. Now I'm doing another successful sitcom. Now I'm doing stand up. And I'm putting together specials because I'm looking for superstardom. I've been a star a long time.
Right.
The reason why I do press when I get to a market, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do local radio and all that, because I'm preparing myself for when I have to sell a movie.
Mm-hmm.
When I have a $100 million movie on my back and I got to sell it in 193 territories. Fly me, I go, I rock, whatever we need to do. I'm engaging in every last single place. I'm preparing myself for something. I know, if you stay at it long, my brother always said, there's a light at the end of every tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep digging. And I'm just digging.
You certainly are. So what would happen today, if you had just if you had to start over, not as you, if you were some young person or somebody coming to LA from San Francisco with a U-Haul and $10,000, how would you get into the business now? What would you do? And that's for you,
probably
too,
exactly what I did to get into business in the first place. It wasn't I didn't like being Keenan's brother and Damon's brother was not always a blessing. There's a lot of curse with that, because understand, when Damon and Keenan didn't live in color, they were seasoned artists that did 20 years of stand-up comedy, several movies, TV shows to prepare for that moment. Me and Sean was out of college and high school when we got that opportunity. What people have done with us was, with me and Sean, people literally have watched us mature as comedians. See, before you get to outside of the spotlight, you can grow as a comedian. Me and Sean grew in front of everybody. We got thrown out there like, okay, be a star. We didn't know what the f*** that was. We just two guys working and hustling. And now, 25 years later, I feel like, yeah, now I'm ready to be what I've been preparing to be. I got my 25 years to really develop. I understand story. I understand character. I understand jokes. I understand point of view, material. You're always growing. You're always learning. But even when I give notes, I give different kind of notes than I used to. Before, I'd be like, it's not funny enough. We need jokes, 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 jokes. Now my notes aren't really that. My notes are the story. We need to do this. What if we did this to tie this in? How do we connect these characters? How do we make this arc more engaging? My story notes are different. And even in editing, when I go to editing, I sit there and I go, I'm gonna make this as funny as can. I make it fat and then I cut it down. That's my process, because I need to see the fat and then go and be objective and sit outside and go, I don't need that. Let's cut that. And then I got him going, and I agree. And so I feel like maturity, growth, time, I wouldn't change a thing.
Okay.
The only thing I would probably do, I would tell somebody new coming into LA to be somebody, depending on what they want to be, learn story, get on stage. If you're trying to be a comedian, you're trying to be a star, get on stage now. The only thing I would have done differently is I would have got on a stage and I wouldn't have ever stopped doing stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of glad I did, because a lot of my peers, they're tired of doing stand-up. And me, I'm like, this is exciting. I'm getting to go play, 3,000 people, and I'm going to do two shows a night. And people are like, what are you, crazy? I'm like, nah, I can't wait to get a third. Ain't this fun? No, this is work.
Right.
And I'm just excited. Like, I got fresh eyes. So I would tell them, stay on stage, stay a student. Watch every movie that you can. If you want to make a movie, watch 100 movies like the movie you're trying to watch. You see what works and what did not work. What's good, bad, and ugly. Watch them, because that's going to give you, because stories don't change. It's like a tire. There's a mechanics that goes on. The wheel is round for a reason. Same things with stories. You could put rims on the tire. You could paint the tire. You could change the tread. You could change a lot about the tire to make it different, but you're not going to change the shape, which is the circle. It's always going to be that way, bro. So learn story, because that's the structure. Read 7 books I would tell you to read. Hero Has 1,000 Faces. Story by Robert McKee. Myth in Movies. Save the Cat. The Writer's Journey. Simple screenplay. And go story by Robert McKee.
Right.
Read those books. Educate yourself. You put yourself through your own master's class, your own college, and never give up. Work every day. If you wake up and you didn't work, kick yourself. You wasted time.
What they should do is just get you on Instagram, because they'll feel like shit. Because if you go to bed, you'd be like, Marlon Wayans is still working. What was the movie that did it for you? And then, Rick, you have to give your answer. I'm sorry.
What do you mean?
What was the movie? Give me one movie. For me, I mean, Arthur was the one that just was like, holy shit, anything is possible. What was that for you?
Different movies for different times in my career. First, starting out.
First thing that comes to your head.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Airplane changed my life. I saw that.
I can
my brother
that.
Keenan took me to see Airplane when I was a kid, me and Sean. And I didn't know you could laugh like that in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. That's only the third movie I went to see in my life, because we was poor. But man, when I saw that, I remember walking back home from the theater and we was quoting stuff.
Yep.
I think that, I'm going to get you, sucker. Mm-hmm. Changed my life, my perspective. Eddie Murphy Raw
made me
want to be a comedian so bad. I was there at the show and I was like, this is amazing. At Madison Square Garden, sold out, killed it. something about Mary. I didn't know you could tell a story like with some heart. A romantic comedy is just that damn funny. Nutty Professor. Eddie doing the seven different characters at a table. He should have won an Oscar for that. Liar, Liar. Jim Carrey being that broad, that crazy, but still having that much heart. Like, to me, those are...
It's funny because as you say it, I can see your career flashing before my eyes as you're saying all those different movies because I can tell the influences yeah. that they've had on you.
Yeah.
What about you, Rick?
Well, for me, Star Wars... was a big moment for mm-hmm. me. I saw it at the North Point Theater in San Francisco. I waited 4 hours with my dad to see that movie. So was that the power of the experience yeah. of it, like waiting and all the anticipation of sitting there with all these people who were so excited. It changed my life. I was a sports fan. I was all that, but I never saw like people so engaged and so just excited and fired up about something that, they were going to, they would wait twice as long than the movie, right. the movie's running length. It was amazing.
I'm jumping back in. Big.
I can see that too.
Big, because I just love the way it was the acting. Like, right. it's hard to do that, yep. to act like a kid, even though you're a grown man. Forrest Gump. Oh, those are acting roles, but yep. still have comedy. Like, for me, those are the abilities that I have. Like, and lastly, Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie Murphy yes. will always be one of my favorite comedians because he knew when to be what. He didn't push the comedy. He wasn't super broad. He was broad when he had to be because the situation made him have to be that way.
Yep.
And he played the moment. When his friend got shot, he played that beat. You see him get hurt. You see him become vulnerable. And now we're rooting for him for the rest of the movie. He can do no wrong. I love that man.
Awesome man. Advice, guys. Guys, thank you so much.
No, now we want to stay here.
I know. I said
no,
it would be enough.
We don't stay here.
We can keep going after this. I love you guys.
I
thank
love you
too, so
man.
Much
Thanks,
for coming.
Tom.
All right, all that to say, all right, let's find five more movies. Let's go, Tom.
Let's do it. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Producer's Guide. We're produced by Katie McEwen, Kirsten Woodward, and Steve Delamater. I want to answer all your questions about the business, so make sure to tweet me at Todd_Garner or use hashtag Producer's Guide on Twitter. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner. Download new episodes every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
That was really good, Todd.
F*** you, Steve.
Have you checked out The Big Podcast with Shaq here at Podcast One? Yeah, we talk basketball, but we're a lot more than just sports.
I met this fabulous lady. She's had to be in her 70s, knew everything about me, knew everything about sports. And the last thing she says, I love your podcast. And I
was like,
thank you very much. Oh, but I hate that John Kincaid.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
Listen free to The Big Podcast with Shaq exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.